Sportscast, October 11th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible. Read the Bible on your iPhone. The Indianapolis Colts defeated the Kansas City Chiefs 19-13 this past Sunday night, handing the Chiefs their first loss of the season. It seemed very unusual for Patrick Mahomes to not win this one for the Chiefs. Jeff is going to break it down to us. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago. And, yeah, unusual is a nice way to put it.
Of all teams, yeah. The Colts, actually, we did bring this up. I actually brought it up. Matt Patricia, he's a very smart guy. Comes from the Patriots. He's a very defensive-minded guy. And I won't be surprised if he contacted someone from the Patriots. How do we beat the Chiefs?
Well, with, you know, Patricia, the week before gave out what a lot of people felt was a blueprint to slow the Chiefs down. I'll say this, though. So the Colts deserve credit. They played a physical game. They tackled well, played disciplined. But what was concerning to me, so first of all, I'll say, if Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill, once they get back on the field, this whole thing of playing man-to-man versus the Chiefs just goes out the window. I mean, you know, the Patriots did it last year in the AFC Championship, and they did it for a half, and then in the second half, the Chiefs scored 31. So I think the idea that you can just play man defense and slow down the Chiefs' offense is kind of silly. But when they're missing their playmakers, the margin of error gets really thin. And 2 weeks in a row now, the Chiefs have played a sloppy game. You know, against Detroit, they turned the ball over a ton, but they got away with it, and they came back and won. Against the Colts, you know, you have the Shady McCoy fumble that was a big deal. You have a couple drops. The offensive line is an underrated story, too, because Eric Fisher has been out, and since he's gone out, Mahomes has taken a lot more hits. So I think there's a lot of things there. I think it goes far, far beyond just teams deciding to play man versus the Chiefs. But I will say this. If the Chiefs don't start protecting the ball better, this is going to be a problem for a long time. Because that Shady McCoy fumble, he was carrying the ball almost down at his waist. You know, if you do that, you're going to turn the ball over. So Andy Reid's a veteran coach. I'm sure he'll get on his guys. And you have to assume they'll fix it. But you can't let those types of things continue on or you'll lose more games.
What did the Colts do right?
Well, the Colts were the more physical team at the line of scrimmage. And the Colts' offensive line controlled the game. I mean, when you look at the time, now Jacoby Brissett really didn't do a whole lot. But he had all day to throw when he did throw. And then Marlon Mack's a nice player in his own right. But a lot of those runs, he was getting 5 yards before you even knew the Chiefs' defense was on the field. Because the offensive line for the Colts just dominated that game. So I think if you want to talk about what the Colts did right, they played physical. On defense, too, you know, the one thing that you can't be too critical of Andy Reid. He's a great coach. But there have been multiple teams that have just decided they're going to grab and hold against the Chiefs and just do it until the refs call it to the point that they can't do it anymore. And the Chiefs have really done a poor job of adjusting to that. So you got to run your pick routes and your drag routes and maybe some quick hitting plays. And it just felt as though the Chiefs kept trying to attack the Colts vertically, which I understand because the Colts were so beat up in the secondary and the Colts really couldn't cover the Chiefs deep. But if you can't block it up front, then you can't get those plays off. So I think what the Colts did right is they played physical, they stuck to their game plan, and they tested the boundaries. You know, they just decided that we're going to make this an ugly game. We're going to muck it up and see if the Chiefs adjust. And unfortunately, for the Chiefs' side of the argument, they didn't adjust. And you know, it got the Colts an ugly win.
Mahomes threw for 320 yards and a touchdown, and the Chiefs had just 36 yards rushing, despite getting top running back Damian Williams back from injury, all while watching their record streak of 22 games scoring at least 26 points come to a crashing conclusion. How is Damian Williams doing? How'd you see him play this past Sunday?
Sometimes it's hard to separate running back play from the offensive line, because with the offensive line injuries, the run blocking wasn't good when they were completely healthy. Now that the offensive line's beat up, I mean, a lot of these plays just have no chance whatsoever. With that said, there were some opportunities for Williams to make plays, and he didn't do it. Not to say it would have been an easy catch, but on the first drive of the game, Mahomes, you know, dropped the ball in a perfect place for him to catch a touchdown, and he dropped it. So that, and again, I'm not saying it was an easy catch. The linebacker was right there, but it was still a play he could have made, and he didn't. And then there were a few runs that he just, you know, maybe tried to take it outside too long and make the big play where he turned down getting a 5 or 6 yard run. So some of that could just be rust. Just my personal feel on it. I liked when the Chiefs used Shady McCoy and Darrell Williams better than I like when they used Damian Williams. But that could be my bias too, just because he didn't play well against the Colts.
What are your thoughts about Shady McCoy? Has he been a huge asset for the Chiefs so far?
I like Shady McCoy. I mean, he's good in the passing game. He doesn't have that breakaway speed anymore, but he'll still make guys miss in a small area. I think he still breaks more tackles than any other Chiefs running back. The fumble, you know, every running back fumbles at some point. The discouraging part for me is just that, you know, you're running through traffic on a screen play. You have to expect that they're going to go for the strip, and he just didn't protect the ball. But I still think he has value, and I think as the season wears on, I think they're going to continue to use him more and more in the passing game.
The Chiefs are optimistic to have Tyreek Hill be back against the Texans in Week 6. I believe they have a off week this weekend. How much of a difference will he bring when he comes back?
Tyreek Hill coming back changes, I don't want to say everything, because the Chiefs still have to be able to protect up front. But the thing about Tyreek Hill is, first of all, you can't play too much man coverage because just not many guys can run with him. But the second part of that is teams have been playing that single high safety coverage versus the Chiefs and then double teaming Travis Kelce. If you play single high against Tyreek Hill, I mean, you're asking to give up those 80-yard touchdowns and those 60-yard touchdowns, especially now that they have Mecole Hardman on the other side of the field. So the thing about Hill is, even if he doesn't have big stats, he changes the defense's game plan in a big way. So, from the report that I saw from Ian Rappaport, you know, today they're going to do the next scan, and if it comes back positive, then he can play on Sunday against the Texans. And, you know, that would be huge. I mean, it really would, because the game plan that teams have been using to slow down the Chiefs just wouldn't exist anymore.
Looking at in the following week against the Texans are coming off a huge win against the Atlanta Falcons. What do you expect in this matchup?
The Texans have been kind of up and down themselves. Just looking at it, you know, they had a game where they only scored 13 against the Jaguars. They had a game where I think they scored 16 against the Panthers. So their offense has been a little bit up and down, too. The thing that I will say, they will challenge you vertically. I mean, they're going to take their shots to both Fuller and Hopkins. They have a lot of speed on their offense. Their offensive line, you know, a lot of people said the offensive line's horrible and all, you know. But I don't think it's as bad as it was made. I mean, at one time, yes, it was. But then they have some rookies that are starting to play better. And they got Tunzel from the Dolphins. So I really think their offensive line's improved. So they're going to put up some points. On the defensive side, you know, Romeo Crennel's a really good defensive coordinator. They have a pretty good front seven. But, I think at the end of the day, the first team to score 30 probably wins. it's hard to see the Chiefs losing back-to-back home games, but, you know, it's definitely not a given. You know, the Texans are going to play – I think the Texans are going to play a good game, and I think it'll come down to the fourth quarter.
Will be a high-scoring matchup.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Of course, we saw a huge, huge performance of Houston last weekend. Of course, it was a weak Atlanta, though.
And, you know, that's one thing Houston is really good at. I mean, if they play a bad opponent, they do tend to crush them, or if they don't crush them, they at least score a ton of points. Atlanta, you know, Atlanta seems to be falling apart. That's the hard part about the NFL week to week. You don't want to take anything away from how the Texans played, because they played well and they put that game away. But it is hard to get a real feel for what they'll do in Kansas City, because Atlanta just played so poorly. So there's two sides to that argument. You just have to kind of wait and see how they match up with each other.
Yeah, it's been quite interesting. Houston has been up and down. Like, Deshaun Watson could be considered a top-tier quarterback already because of his yardage and his ability to throw the ball far. But is Watson, in your book, a top-tier quarterback?
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, you know, when the Chiefs drafted, going back to when the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes, you know, my personal feel was that I wanted them to take Mahomes, but if they would have taken Watson, I would have been pumped as well. I mean, Watson's great. He improvises well, throws a nice deep ball. I think he's a winner. You know, he'll play down. He'll play hard until the very end, whether they're up 20, down 20, or anywhere in between. So, I think too, we haven't seen the best of Watson yet, because not to take anything away from Mahomes, but Mahomes had Andy Reid and great weapons and a pretty good offensive line before the injuries. So it was hard to compare the two. I don't think we've seen peak Deshaun Watson yet. So I like him a lot. I mean, I think he's great.
You think with his injury woes, it was probably a good thing to choose Patrick Mahomes?
Well, absolutely. I don't think you can go against the guy that in his first starting year was the league MVP. And even though these last two games haven't been perfect, Mahomes is going to be right there at the end of the year. He's going to be right there again for league MVP. So you can't second guess using the 10th overall pick on a guy that could be the MVP back-to-back years.
Yeah, there was some doubts because, you know, most quarterbacks come in after MVP year or after, like, a good first year. When they go into, like, their sophomore season, they typically slip. Mahomes has kept going in that level, the high-intensity level.
Absolutely, and it's going to get better when they get Hill and potentially Sammy Watkins back. With, you know, Sammy Watkins, he seems like he plays a game and misses a game, plays two games and misses two games. But when him and Hill are both in the lineup, the offense is going to move the ball on anybody.
Also, to look at AFC South, I'm looking at it right now, Texans, Colts, and Jaguars, and Titans. It feels like anyone can win it. From your standpoint, who do you think, like, could win it?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's a tough one.
Flip a coin.
Yeah, I mean, I lean towards the Texans because I like Watson the best of all the quarterbacks in that division. The Jaguars probably have the best defense, but the whole Ramsey thing, not having Ramsey, even without him, their defense is really good, but with Ramsey, it's great. And if this Ramsey thing continues to play out that he's not going to play or he's still once traded, I think that hurts their chances. With the Titans, their defense is really good. The running game's good, but I don't trust Mariota. And with the Colts, their defense should continue to grow, and they have a good running game, but I don't really trust Brissett against, you know, quality teams. So, to me, it just really comes down to Watson being the best quarterback in that division. So I think the Texans will end up winning the AFC South.
Yeah, quiet. AFC South has always been the joke or like the weakest division in the conference. And, of course, this will all pan out. I mean, we can't say there's the one good complete team in this conference. I mean, yeah, through this AFC South division.
Yeah, it's – I mean, there's not a single team in that division that I would put my life savings on.
But when it comes down to the quarterback, you're right. Like, Deshaun is the best quarterback in that division, for sure.
Absolutely. And, I mean, the way they've played lately, you could make the argument that the second-best quarterback is Minshew, and he's a rookie.
Wow.
So, that doesn't say a whole lot about
the AFC South.
It doesn't say a lot about Brissett and
Mariota. And Tannehill, if you want to put him in the limbo.
Yeah, once Tannehill gets – I mean, I have a feeling at some point this year Tannehill might get his opportunity. It's hard to say.
Once Mariota gets injured. Well, let's look at last night's game. It was pretty much a no-brainer. Patriots beat the Giants 35-14. Patriots are 6-0. The Giants with Daniel Jones, his first loss. What were your thoughts about this game?
The Patriots just showed they're the more complete team. I mean, the Giants' defense played its guts out. I mean, you have to take your hat off to the Giants' defense. But the Giants' offense just did such a bad job of protecting the ball. So you give up a special teams touchdown and you give up a touchdown on defense, or a defensive touchdown to the Patriots. You're not going to win that way. Now, to be fair to the Giants, I mean, they're missing Saquon Barkley, Ingram, and one of their two out of their top three receivers. So really, it's hard. You know, Jones did the best he could. I thought he looked all right early. In the fourth quarter, he kind of fell apart a little bit. But again, you know, he didn't have a lot to work with. So the Patriots did what the Patriots do. You know, they just show that they're the more complete team. Their defense is good from top to bottom. Their special teams are sound. And their offense isn't very good right now, but they just don't screw up. They just take what you give them and don't lose the game. And the defense and special teams dominated.
New York was able to hang on with the Patriots for the bulk of the game as Tom Brady and the offense struggled to find their footing all night. Jones had a good game. He showed flashes, but he did not. But he did have his fair share of miscues. He finished with 161 yards, a touchdown, and three interceptions. Wow. Brady, meanwhile, was not much better as he was inconsistent overall, but did finish with 334 yards through the air and was able to rush for two touchdowns. The Patriots are 6-0. I'm not sure, but it feels like they're heading to a undefeated season.
No.
You don't think so?
Not at all. So you can only play who's on your schedule.
Right.
And I don't really – I think they have played an easy schedule, but at the same time – that can be a bad argument because we just got done talking about the Chiefs as an 11-point home favorite losing a game.
Part of being a good team
is taking care of business when you play teams you should beat. The Chiefs did not take care of business against a team they should have beat. The Patriots did. I mean, it's really that simple to me. Now, with that said, the Patriots have to play the Texans, the Chiefs, they have to play the Bills again. They have a stretch where they'll play some real competition. So I think they'll still end up the 1 or 2 seed, probably the 1 seed in the AFC, but they're not going to go undefeated because eventually their offense is going to cost them a game.
Patriots' next 3 games, they'll be playing the Jets, the Browns, and the Ravens. I could see them winning 2 out of the 3. Ravens will be tough, but what do you think?
I think they could win all 3 of those. I mean,
yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they win all 3. I mean, the Ravens, depending on how they play. The Ravens are another team that are kind of hard to gauge because they look decent against the Steelers, but they just got run off the field by the Browns. Their defense is really struggling. So it's just hard to say what the Ravens will do in a head-to-head with the Patriots.
You think the Ravens are the 3rd-best team in the AFC?
No. I did it one time, but their defense just isn't getting any better right now. And I think if I had to say somebody that's the 3rd best, I'd lean towards the Bills right now just because they have a dominant defense. Josh Allen has to play better if they want to keep that. And then I think the Texans are right there in the argument too. But I think it's the
big
the
drop.
Patriots. I think right now. Now this is before the Chiefs get some guys back, and obviously the Patriots have the injuries of their own. I think right now the Patriots are definitely the best team in the AFC, and then the Chiefs are the second best team, and then you could make an argument for the Bills or the Texans, you know, being that third best team.
Robert Kraft did reveal last night that Rob Gronkowski has not signed his retirement papers yet.
Well, that's nice, but Gronkowski looks like he lost 100 pounds. He's not coming back to football anytime soon.
Yeah, that kind of a little bit pondering because there's been rumors and everything else, but I don't know. We'll see how this thing plays out, but I mean, in my opinion, I won't be surprised if he comes back. Maybe not this season, but maybe next season, but we'll see how.
I could see it being more likely that he'd return after a year off than coming back this year.
Yeah. I mean, he's only 29, 30 years old. There's plenty of time to plenty of gas left in his tank. So let's look at last week's scores, significant scores that I thought that we pointed out. Seahawks beating the Rams 30-29. Rams has lost two games so far. Is this a bad sign for the Rams?
I think the Rams are kind of starting to feel life without Gurley being who he is. They, you know, they're a run-based team, and then Goff was able to operate off of that. The other thing is, as many good players as the Rams have in their secondary, from what I've seen, they're not performing. They're giving up way too many big plays. So it's way too early. It's way too early to write a team off. I think the Rams will bounce back. But they're definitely struggling with some things that they haven't in the past. And I also think the Seahawks, maybe everybody, including me, thought the Seahawks were going into a complete rebuild mode. But Russell Wilson's just so good. You know, Russell Wilson's just so good that they keep finding a way to win these 1-2 and 3-point games.
Saints defeated the Buccaneers 31-24. Terry Bridgewater still has it.
He's doing enough that they can win. My whole thing is this. When your backup quarterback comes in, you just don't want them to completely sabotage your team. And Bridgewater's doing that. He's doing just enough. He's not sabotaging them. The defense is playing well, and they're winning games. I mean, the Saints are a complete team. I think they're good. You know, I thought they'd have a drop-off this year even before Breeze got hurt, and it hasn't been. They've been really good.
One team that I'm really not surprised completely, but is the Raiders. They just beat the Bears 24-21. They're 3-2. Is it something the Chiefs should be worried about?
The Raiders aren't a bad team anymore. I feel confident saying that. I'm not ready to say like the Raiders are a playoff team or, you know, they're going to make a run or anything like that. But they are definitely not just somebody to beat on anymore. And when you look at the AFC doesn't have a lot of depth. So the Raiders, you never know. I mean, they could sneak in and get a wild card if they keep playing well.
Yeah, something to look at. They beat the Bears. They beat the Colts. They lost against the Vikings in Minnesota. And they lost the Chiefs against the Chiefs. And, of course, they beat the Broncos. The Broncos got their first win against San Diego. And we thought San Diego might have had a chance to win that game.
San Diego, I mean, every team has injuries. But San Diego is getting to a point. And I guess it's actually Los Angeles now, isn't it?
Correct. Did I say San Diego? I'm sorry, yeah, the Chargers.
Yeah, but I did too, though. but the Chargers, it seems like every year we talk about this, whether it's bad luck or the training staff needs replaced, I don't know. But their injuries are just unbelievable. I mean, they lose another guy every week, it seems. With that said, the Broncos were close to winning a lot of games, and it feels like they just finally put one away. And now with the Broncos, we'll see. They play the Titans, and then they play the Chiefs on a short week. So we'll find out a little bit more was that just the Broncos getting a desperation win? We'll see. I don't think the Broncos are any threat to make the playoffs, but I also don't necessarily think they're quite as bad as their record. So I think they'll probably maybe they'll ruin somebody else's season with a win late in the year, but I just can't see them making a lot of noise.
Ready for game predictions?
Absolutely.
Carolina Panthers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, AFC South showdown.
This might come across as a little bit of an upset, but I'm going to go with the Bucs. I think the Panthers have been relying so heavy on McCaffrey, and I think they're just due to have a week where that doesn't pan out. So I'm going to take the Bucs by a field goal.
Bucks by a field goal, which Winston has had some few good games this season, and of course him connecting with Mike Evans has been working out. The Saints at the Jaguars. They'll face Gardner Minshew. See what he's all about.
I think the Saints are the better team, but I think the Jaguars will win. And it's just the reason I say that is, you know, we talked about when the backup's in, don't let him mess up the game. I think that has a shelf life. So Bridgewater's played well, but I think he's due to kind of play a less than great game. And I think the Saints also play a lot better at home than they do on the road. So the Jaguars are going to win that game. It'll be a close one. 20-17, the Jaguars will win.
Even if Ramsey, like this whole debacle with Ramsey, it feels like Jacksonville are holding things together, especially with Gardner Minshew.
They are. Their offense is better than we thought it would be. Their defense has taken a hit because of the Ramsey stuff and because they lost Telvin Smith. But the offense is better than last year. So it's kind of balanced them out some.
If Nick Foles was healthy this weekend, would you start Nick Foles or Gardner?
I'd stay with Minshew.
Me too.
Minshew's a rookie. He's played well, and he's only going to get better.
Seattle at Cleveland.
I don't feel good about this pick, but I'm going to go with Cleveland.
Wow.
And it's just because Seattle's been winning a lot of close games, so I think they're due to lose a close game. You see it a lot of times when teams always win close, just eventually a bounce goes the other way. The Browns' defense, I think, has played pretty well when the offense isn't sabotaging them. So playing in Cleveland, Seattle having to travel, Browns will win 24-21.
Yeah, the Browns, it feels like there's some games they gel in, and then like there's some games they're not. What is it with Cleveland?
To me, it's a first-year head coach. Freddie Kitchens, I don't think, is quite ready yet. And the other part of that is the offensive line's bad. Maybe the worst in the NFL.
Wow.
So when Cleveland's trying to attack down the field and go for these big plays, it's impossible because the offensive line isn't allowing it. That to me, is the biggest issue in Cleveland. Their offensive line just isn't good at all.
Eagles at the Vikings.
I lean Vikings. The Vikings play a lot better at home. Again, if you played this game on a neutral field, I'd take the Eagles. But Dalvin Cook will make a big play. The Vikings defense will make a play or two. And from what I've seen, I still don't think DeSean Jackson's going to be back. So I think the Vikings defense will make just enough plays, and they'll win 27-24.
Big NFC West game, San Francisco at the Rams.
San Francisco. And it's because they're playing better up front on both sides of the ball. The Rams' offensive line has struggled. The Niners' defensive line is just full of a bunch of bad dudes. And it's going to be too much for the Rams. And I see Goff playing a poor game. And the Niners run the ball so well that they'll shorten the game. They won't give the Rams a chance to be as explosive. So I like the Niners in that game. This is I don't feel great about this. I'm going to say 24-14.
Wow. Are the Niners the real deal?
Absolutely they are. Their defense is legitimate, for one. And for two, they complement their defense with a great run game that has multiple running backs. And George Kittle is great. I mean, Kittle is awesome. And I love Travis Kelce. Absolutely love Travis Kelce. But Kittle is making a heck of a case for being the best tight end in the NFL.
Tough place to top, you know, to take that Gronk spot that everyone's trying to say. Is it Kelce or it could be Kittle? Pittsburgh Steelers at the LA Chargers.
This is another one I don't feel great about, but I am going with the Steelers, and it's for one reason. If you look at the absolute strength of the Steelers, it's up front on their defensive line. Their defensive line, despite all the struggles the Steelers have had, their defensive line is really good. Then you look at the Chargers and you say, what are the Chargers' strength? Well, they have some playmakers, they have Phillip Rivers, but their offensive line is a disaster. And they just lost Pouncey. So their offensive line was already a disaster. Now they lost probably their best offensive lineman. The Steelers are going to control that game up front, and they're going to win 17-10.
17-10. I believe the quarterback is back. Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph.
He'll be back this weekend,
I
believe.
Official word yet.
Yeah, I know he had a huge concussion, but
to me, in that game, the quarterback position is just a placeholder. The Steelers are going to run the ball and simplify the passing game. They're not going to let the quarterback position dictate who wins that game.
Yeah, it's just one of those type of games. Detroit at Green Bay.
Green Bay. Detroit will give them a good fight. Detroit's defense is 100% legit. But Aaron Rodgers is starting to pick it up. The Packers' running game's getting going. And they're really tough to beat at home. They're going to win 28-24.
You're not saying that just to pay back what they did to the Chiefs, right?
No. Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Even if the Chiefs beat the Colts, you would have still picked Green Bay. Anyways. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Chiefs beat the Lions. I mean, the Lions made it ugly, but the Chiefs still won.
Wait. Sorry. I'm confusing Detroit and Indianapolis. Sorry about that.
All good.
The same, same colors. Well, kind of close, same colors and kind of proximity-wise. Anyways, what is your favorite fall candy? Candy corn, caramel creams, candy apples, or the Reese's pumpkin?
The Reese's pumpkin, man. Absolutely. Peanut butter cup, are you kidding me?
I know. When I put that down, it felt like that's going to take over. But according to the poll, candy apples won by 60%. So.
What?
Yeah.
Ugh. I mean, they're fine, but they're not peanut butter cups.
Exactly. Jeff R., how can people reach you to talk to you about Mason Rudolph?
The best way to follow along is at JT Fulver on Twitter.
And, of course, you talk about barbecue. It's always a good time to eat barbecue. I heard the McRib is coming back. Are you a McRib fan, or do you kind of ignore that?
That's blasphemic. That's not barbecue.
Is that real pork?
That's probably a dead camel from somewhere that they pulled the meat out of. That's not barbecue.
Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll be live tweeting three big games in college football this weekend. And, of course, Major League Baseball playoffs are continuing to the next round. The Yankees and the Houston Astros are going to face off, which is a huge playoff battle. We'll see if the Yankees will be back to the World Series, I believe, since the early 2000s. I think 2006 to be exact. So follow us on the Sportscast. And, of course, on Sunday is week 6 for the NFL. A couple big games, a couple AFC South games, and we'll see what happens in the retrospect of who is the best. Who will win it? You know, NFL is so unpredictable, a lot of parity. October gets a little bit redder, so we'll see what happens. Jeff, always a joy for you to be on the Sportscast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.